I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock. Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of life. Sinnerless to the loving call, wonderful words of life. Also freely given, wooing us to heaven. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of life. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life. Jesus only Savior, sanctify forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life.
Hello, and welcome to the Voice of Hope. I'm J. Mark Horst, your friend and Bible teacher. This program is produced by Heralds of Hope. We're an international gospel media ministry. We use many forms of electronic and print media to share the good news of Jesus Christ with tens of thousands of people every week in English and 21 other languages. One major part of our ministry is Bible distribution. And from now until the end of the year, we have a goal of raising $250,000 to purchase and distribute more than 50,000 copies of God's Word. Some of these copies of the Scripture are for the country of India, in the Tamil and Telugu languages. Some are for Malawi, in the Chichewa language. Some, both English and Hausa, will go to the country of Nigeria, and others to Zimbabwe, Kenya, and the DR Congo. Many people are eagerly waiting for a copy of God's Word, which they can't afford to buy. If you'd like to help provide a copy of God's Word for an eager recipient, you can donate at our website, heraldsofhope.org. But you and I, for the most part, have more than one copy of the Scriptures, and beyond that, we have additional resources to help us better understand God's Word. And for the past several programs, we've been looking into the Scripture and learning about God's purposes for marriage. We noted three purposes of marriage: sanctification, illustration, and procreation. If you missed any of that earlier teaching, it's available either in print or on an audio CD. We'd be happy to provide a copy to you. And it's also available on our website, heraldsofhope.org. As we ended our study last time, we were looking at how these three purposes of marriage are connected to each other and how each one impacts the others. We'll continue that teaching in just a few moments with some additional applications. And then we'll close out this study by challenging you and me to recommit ourselves to obedience to the principles of God's Word as they relate to marriage. Right now, I will read Genesis chapter 1, verses 26. To 28. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God he created him. Male and female he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." In the very first portion of this study, I stated my belief that the primary purpose of marriage is sanctification. And I base that on the record of Genesis 1:26-28. God created mankind, that is, male and female, in his own image and likeness. God originally designed human beings to be like him. Now, not in the role of a usurper, like Lucifer, son of the morning, but in the role of reflector or messenger. Human beings were and are to be a tangible expression of God's person and his character. By virtue of our creation by God, we are obligated to be holy, to be set apart. We are to be like him. And this requirement of holiness is stressed throughout the scriptures from beginning to end. And we know the original God-likeness was marred by the sin of our first parents. But sanctification or holiness was so important to the representation of God's image that God was willing to sacrifice his only Son to restore that image. And so holiness becomes God's supreme goal for every individual that he creates. We should note also that holiness isn't simply moral improvement. It's not cleaning up your life. No, instead it's transformation. You see, we don't merely live differently than others. We should have, if we're genuine Christ followers, a completely different principle of life. And so we could say that holiness is not a lifestyle, but rather actually a life. And for the disciple of Christ, it isn't optional. Hebrews 12:14 informs us that without holiness, no one will see the Lord. So even though holiness is given to us as a gift through Christ, there is a need for pursuing it or striving to develop its qualities in our lives. And marriage is just one of those tools that God uses in this process to make us holy. Now it's true, not every person will marry, but in God's plan for the human family, marriage is normative. That means it is God's design and plan that most people will marry and bear children so that the human race continues and so God's purposes in the world can be fulfilled. And so marriage becomes a valuable tool in God's hand to continue the work of sanctification in our lives. To paraphrase Gary Thomas, he says, "God designed marriage to make us holy more than to make us happy." Understanding this primary purpose of marriage will impact the answer that you and I give to any question about the marriage relationship. Then the second purpose we looked at was illustration. And we find this purpose by looking at Paul's use of Genesis 2:24 in his letter to the Ephesians, chapter 5. Paul writes these words in verse 31. "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh." And then he gives us the application of this in verse 32. He says, "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." The purpose of illustration highlights the symbolism of the marriage relationship. Marriage is patterned after Christ's covenant relationship with his church. So it's logical to conclude that Paul is saying marriage, that is, the covenant involved in leaving father and mother and being united to a spouse, is patterned after Christ's covenant commitment to his church. And Jesus himself spoke of this relationship in Matthew chapter 9, verse 15, and in John 3:29. In those verses, he referred to himself as the bridegroom coming for his bride, the church. And so, therefore, this purpose for marriage puts the covenant relationship of Christ and his church on continual display. The love that binds husband and wife together, and even the love that Adam and Eve had before the fall, is a glorious love. Why? Because it portrays something bigger, something magnificent, and that is Christ's love for his people. One writer said marriage is essential, it's mysterious, and it's magnificent, because it points to something bigger that is also essential, mysterious, and magnificent. In other words, marriage is a vivid, life-size, daily illustration of God's plan of redemption, Christ's covenant with His church. And then the third and final purpose that we looked at was procreation. And this purpose is clearly and undeniably presented in Genesis chapter 1, 28. Immediately after the creation of man and woman, God blessed them. The first provision of the blessing God gave to Adam and Eve was also a command. It was the command to procreation. He said, "Be fruitful and multiply." As we noted earlier in this study, mankind is the only part of creation that is made in God's image and likeness. And so the purpose of procreation among human beings is more than simply the propagation of the species. It gives us human beings the opportunity and the privilege of partnering with God in the creation of other human beings who are made in His likeness. And God's goal is that the earth would eventually be filled with those who will worship and praise Him. Clearly, procreation is a third major purpose of the marriage relationship. And in God's plan, children are not incidental to marriage. They are an essential part of it. Now, it almost goes without saying that another purpose of procreation is to continue and to increase the family of God, the church. The entire scope of the scriptures reinforces this reality. The biblical emphasis on the current generation teaching the rising generation is clearly seen in both testaments. So our faith in God is to be multi-generational. The rejection of procreation as a primary purpose of marriage today is endangering both the church and the world. Now, in the remaining time we have together, let's examine the way these purposes overlap and how they relate to each other. If indeed sanctification is the primary purpose of marriage, then it follows that every facet of the marriage relationship has some connection to that purpose. It's true that our sanctification is a work of the Spirit, but God doesn't force Himself on anyone. And so every day, you and I make conscious decisions to either permit or deny God the freedom to work in our lives. We permit or deny Him the freedom to make us more holy. Now, regardless of what our contemporary culture claims, God established clear, recognizable distinctions between men and women. Now, He created men and women of equal worth. That is undisputed as well. But He also established different roles for each of them. We'll explore those concepts in more detail in a later study. Our Genesis text tells us that it was not good for man to be alone. And the reason why is stated in the end of verse 9. Because Adam needed a helper that was suitable. And if you need a helper, that means you lack something. And even though Adam was perfectly made by God, he was lacking something. And so my conclusion is that neither male nor female alone can accurately represent the fullness of God in His person. And so God gave Adam a wife to complement him or to complete what he lacked. Now remember, all of this took place before sin has entered the human race. So now we have male and female. They're brought together in a marriage relationship so they can complement each other. Together, they can now accomplish what would be impossible individually, including procreation. And then, of course, sin enters the picture. And now the effects of sin cause the man to be suspicious of the woman, and vice versa. Motives are questioned, and what was meant by God to complement now begins to clash. And so we remember that opposites not only attract, but they also often attack. And within these realities lies the opportunity for all kinds of spiritual growth and sanctification. My wife Joyce and I have a wonderful growing marriage relationship of 40 plus years, and I can assure you it doesn't happen without effort. God uses our differences as opportunities to perfect His grace in our lives. And I'll be honest with you, I don't always appreciate what God is attempting to do, and sometimes I resist. And that resistance creates conflict. And in conflict, you know what happens. Somebody usually gets hurt. But then immediately, the Spirit of God is there to remind me that as a husband, I have an obligation. And that obligation, according to the principle of illustration, is to love my wife the very same way that Christ loved the church. That is, unconditionally. And so you see, there's the purpose of illustration, and this shows you how these purposes for marriage really do blend together. And if you think there are opportunities for growth and sanctification in marriage, just wait until God brings children into your life. Because children not only add opportunities for sanctification, I would say they multiply them. And yet again, if we respond to the grace that God gives us in each situation, children can be and are one of marriage's greatest blessings. And so the purpose of procreation will expand your opportunities for spiritual growth, whether you're a mother or a father. I can also testify to you that when God began blessing Joyce and me with children, He did some major work in my life. I realized that, you know what, from now on, I'm going to have someone watching and imitating what I say and do. And so by my words and actions, I will be shaping the life of another human being, either positively or negatively. So I began to question the value of certain activities. I began to think about how the long-term effects of my choices would impact and influence my children. And I also realized that one day I would give an account of how I had nurtured this new life. Would the example I provided and the training I gave encourage this child to embrace a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ? Procreation, as one of the purposes of marriage, also integrates with the other purposes, and it provides some practical applications for us. In our Genesis text, God designed that the husband would leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife. As a result of this separation from their existing family units, the husband and wife would become one flesh. They would become a new unit. They would start a new family. And in God's blessing and design, usually, that new family unit would include children. We know that God designed marriage to be monogamous and heterosexual, the complete union of two people. And while it's not specifically stated here, the word cleave implies that the union is to be permanent. Jesus confirmed that understanding in Mark 10, verses 7 to 9, and also in Matthew 19, 9 to 12. In fact, Jesus' comments about marriage were so strong that the disciples concluded, if this is the case of a man with his wife, then it's not good to marry. You see, they caught the seriousness of the commitment. Now, sadly, among too many professing Christ followers today, this understanding of the seriousness of commitment is missing. In 1 Corinthians 6, 16, in the context of sanctification, Paul asks this question. Do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. Now you notice in the latter part of this verse, he's quoting Genesis 2:24. And yet, in God's design, there's more to becoming one flesh than just the physical relationship. The act that God designed to result in procreation involves our whole being, our spirit, our soul, and our body. And how this oneness occurs is, in the words of the Apostle Paul, a great mystery. So the Bible teaches, and a large body of secular research supports, that the best atmosphere for raising children is a home where the parents are fully committed to their marriage and family relationships. Secular research also confirms that a stay-at-home mother and regular attendance at religious services also yield added benefits. Now that shouldn't surprise us, since the scriptures also teach the value of mothers as keepers at home, according to Titus 2:5, and the importance of our not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together in Hebrews 10:25 for spiritual instruction and fellowship. And yet many professing Christians think they can ignore these principles and still have a godly marriage and family. I want to assure you, if we don't do it God's way, we don't get the results that are promised in His Word. Now, there are many other areas we could address in applying what we've learned about God's purposes for marriage. But as I mentioned in one of my earlier teaching times, my goal isn't to exhaust the subject. My goal is to sharpen your appetite for a deeper understanding of God's truth. And my prayer is that that desire, that appetite for the truth, will drive you to the Word of God to explore these issues for yourself. Now, as we close our study, let me quote for you a few statements that I made several weeks ago when we began this study. I said, quote, if you are a follower of Jesus, your claim automatically obligates you to accept the Word of God as the guide and standard for your life. And yet I discover in my own life and among other believers this disturbing reality. In many areas, we follow man's ideas about what the Bible teaches instead of actually following what the Bible teaches. And that's the end of the quote. So today, I'm urging you to be like the Bereans that Paul spoke about in Acts 17 and verse 11. He wrote that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. I recommit myself to joining you in the search for truth and understanding, realizing that the Word of God is the foundation of all truth. In the weeks to come, we will continue to examine the scriptural teaching on various aspects of marriage and family, and I hope you'll be able to join me. As always, I invite your questions and comments as we go along. As we learn and grow together, applying the principles of Scripture to our individual lives and families, I believe we can make a difference in our homes, in our churches, in our communities, and in our world. Let me leave you now with this encouraging word from the Lord in 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9. It says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth on behalf of those whose heart is loyal toward Him." God is watching for those who obey Him, and there will be rewards and blessings for them both now and in eternity. May God's eyes rest on you with favor.
Searching the Scriptures, the blessed Scriptures, seeking the Savior day by day, striving to learn the wondrous story. What does the blessed Bible say?
Go and inquire,
the King commanded.
Ask of the Lord
for me and thee.
Knock
at the open door of mercy,
where there is pardon
full and free. Searching the Scriptures, the blessed Scriptures, seeking to know the heavenly way, trying to reach the golden city. What does the blessed Bible say?
Go and inquire,
the King commanded.
Ask
of the Lord for me and thee.
Knock
at the open door of mercy,
where there is
pardon full and free. Searching the Scriptures, the blessed Scriptures, seeking the wonders by the way, trying to point us all to Jesus. What does the blessed Bible say?
Go and inquire,
the King commandeth.
Ask
of the Lord for me and thee.
Knock
at the open door of mercy,
where there is
pardon full and free.
My friend, were you blessed by today's teaching? If so, we invite you to respond. Perhaps you have a question, or a testimony, or a comment about something you heard. We welcome your feedback. The easiest way for you to contact us is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org or by calling us toll-free at 866-960-0292 or mail your comment to the Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Now, at the beginning of this program, I told you about our plan to raise the funds to purchase more than 50,000 Bibles by the end of the year 2021. If you'd like to help provide a Bible for someone in another country who can't afford a Bible, we'd love to have you join with us in this project. We currently have 6 Bible orders pending or in process, 1 in English and the other 5 in different languages. You can contribute at our website, over the phone, or by mail. Now, to review today's program or to listen to previous programs, log on to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and listen when it's convenient for you. If you want to connect with us on social media, just search for Heralds of Hope and follow us on our various social media platforms. Here's our contact information again. By email, hope@heraldsofhope.org. By mail, The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or pick up your phone and call us toll-free at 866-960-0292. You can leave a comment on today's teaching, God's Purposes for Marriage. Now, once again, we invite you to help support this ministry financially by donating securely online at heraldsofhope.org or by calling our toll-free number, 866-960-0292. You can also mail your gift to The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. We depend on God's grace, accompanied by your fervent prayers and your generous financial support, to enable The Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. Your donation to provide a Bible for someone could make an eternal difference in their life. I hope you'll join me next week for The Voice of Hope. Lord willing, we'll step away from this series on growing families God's way and take some time to focus on being thankful. Yes, I know, that will be after Thanksgiving Day. But hey, we should be thankful every day, shouldn't we? Now, until we meet again.
Come, thou fount of every blessing,
to my heart unloosing thy grace,
streams of mercy never ceasing,
call for songs of loudest praise.
Teach me ever to adore thee.
May I still thy goodness prove.
I still thy goodness
hope of endless glory.
Fills my heart with joy and love. Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise.
Teach me ever to adore thee,
may I still thy goodness prove. While the hope of endless glory fills my heart with joy and love.
With joy and love, with joy and love. Fills my heart with joy and love.
Here I raise
my Ebenezer, hither by thy help I've come, and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home.
Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God.
He to rescue
me from danger, interposed his precious blood.
His precious blood,
his precious blood. Oh, to grace how great a debtor, daily I constrains thee. Lest thy goodness like a fetter binds me close,
like a fetter.
Call to
mind what I feel,
call to live thy God.